Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Good morning. Welcome. Oh, boy, I'm not ready to go. Hold on. Let's try that again. Good morning and welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. How's that? All right. Well, it's very early. Very cold. Very wet. I don't know if you're on your way to the course right now, but it looks as though things will not be terrible. How's that for an okay forecast? Look, today could have very easily been a washout. So, and believe me, out to the east of us right now, there is some nastiness going on the Cape and the Outer Cape and out into the to the ocean there. But for the Boston area, yeah, you should be okay if you're heading out to play right now. So that's the best I can really give you. But yeah, maybe that's I'm gonna chalk my voice up to just being outside already this morning and having that cold, wet air hit. I hope you're off to a good Saturday so far. Here's what we have coming up on the show today. Last week, we spoke a little bit about trying to put together our list of the best public golf courses in and around not only Massachusetts, but New England. And I got an email from Mike Higgins, who is the CEO and executive director of PGA of America, the New England section. And Mike said, this is something we need to talk about some more. And what Mike really wanted to do was get together and talk about, you know, a way to really highlight some more courses. Maybe not this year, but toward the end of the show. I think for next year, what it's really going to end up being is Mike being on the show here this morning to talk about some of his favorite courses. And I think it all stemmed from last Saturday when I was talking about playing Worcester Country Club, which is, you know, that's a different conversation, I think, for private courses and courses that get overlooked. But you want to talk about an overlooked, phenomenal golf course. Worcester Country Club is right up there among them. Just a wonderful old Donald Ross golf course and club. It's just everything about it. But Mike Higgins will be on here a little bit later, again, with the PGA of America, and he's with the he's the executive director and CEO of the New England section, on to talk about some of his favorite public courses in and around the state. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, played the 18th hole, or more accurately, I watched Stephen Daly, the head professional at the Cape Club of Sharon, play the 18th hole at the Cape Club, and had a conversation with general manager Ken Elworthy. So you'll hear a recap of my conversation with Ken and watching a really good player play a really good hole, number 18, at the Cape Club of Sharon. You'll hear that a little bit later. First thing I have this morning is some really good news. I thought Jack Nicklaus had either lost his mind or was losing his mind. And this is the danger when you get into reading comments from someone as opposed to hearing them. It's not tremendously different, but there's enough difference in what I read to what I actually saw and heard to make me feel better about the Golden Bear and his state of mind. Here's what I read, in part, when he was speaking on a television show, and I didn't even know he was on a TV show. I thought maybe he was just kind of like one-offing this to a reporter or somebody somewhere. He said about President Donald Trump that he plays pretty well. He plays a little bit like I do. He doesn't really ever finish many holes, but he can hit the ball. He's won several club championships. He can play. That's what I read. Jack, I know you are arguably the greatest of all time. I think you and Tiger are in a 1-2 conversation. But the president, as we have learned this year through our own research and from speaking with Rick Riley, the guy who wrote the book, he actually hasn't ever won anything in terms of a club championship. He builds golf courses, some of them phenomenal. But what he does is he goes out and plays the first round and declares himself the club championship. Sometimes, Mr. Nicklaus, Trump has called up to one of his golf courses where the club championship was being contested on a given day and said, "Who won the club championship?" "Oh, so-and-so did." "Huh. Well, I played today at a different course. I played better than that. Make me the club champion." That is a true fact. This has nothing to do with politics. Like I said when I first talked to Riley about this, and like I've said every time since then, it doesn't offend me as a voter. It offends me as a golfer that the cheating that goes on with Trump in his golf game is unconscionable. It's inexcusable. And I thought, has Jack Nicklaus fallen victim to what so many people talk about when they play with Trump? Or with Clinton, or with Bush, or with Obama, any one of these guys, the reason why they attain such levels of success and notoriety, and notoriety is the wrong word, just popularity. You want to know why? Because they're really fun to be around. Every single one of them. Make you feel great. It's that cult of personality. Guys who even played with him and disagree with the way he plays and cheats and doesn't tell the truth about his golf game, a lot of them come away saying the exact same thing. "Yeah, but it was really fun." I thought, how could Jack Nicklaus fall victim to this? Well, when you hear it in context, I felt a little bit better about it. Kristen, can we listen to, and again, this is Jack Nicklaus, who is on some show called The David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations on Bloomberg. I don't know what any of this is. I don't watch a lot of grown-up television. It's pretty much sports and, you know, The Office. But here's Nicklaus, and I feel a little bit better about what he had to say after listening to it. Let's hear it.
You've played with many prominent individuals over the years and prominent golfers. If you could pick any golfer to be your partner in a twosome, who would you want to have as your partner?
Well, I think I'll have to pick Tiger today.
Okay.
But through the years, I never got to play with Bobby Jones, even though I know him and knew him and really, really, really loved the man. I would have loved to have played with Jones, and I would have loved to have, I played quite a bit of golf with Hogan. Hogan was fantastic.
You've also played with a lot of presidents of the United States.
Stop right there, please, Kristen. Thank you. Okay. Number one. So I first asked him if he could play a twosome with anybody today, like in a match or anything else. He said it would have to be Tiger. I'm like, well, that's a great choice. Well, why not? Why not have the two greatest players to ever play the game go out there and play together? I love that answer. And he says he never got to play with Jones, but he played with Hogan, and Hogan was fantastic. All right, this sounds like a man, so far, who is in full control of his faculties. All right, so far, so good. Now, Rubenstein asks about the playing with presidents. Here we go.
I've played with a few.
And which one's the best in playing golf?
Well, the ones I've played with, actually, Trump is probably the best player.
Really?
Trump plays pretty well.
Stop. Thank you. This is all true so far. I don't think anybody would actually question this. And this is what's so maddening about Donald Trump, is that if he actually kept score and actually putted out and actually didn't give himself chips, I know, every once in a while you'll concede a putt. He concedes chips to himself. He's probably a 10 handicap by most assessments, which is really good. You're a 10? You can go out there and shoot low 80s consistently. There's nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, by all reports, what Nicklaus just said, that's true. Okay. All right, let's continue.
He plays a little bit like I do. He doesn't really ever finish many holes, but he can hit the ball, and he goes out and plays, and he just enjoys it. And But he's won several club championships, and he can play. Gerald Ford,
I played. Okay. See, this is where I feel so much better about it, and it's that last statement, right? And again, Nicholas, at this point, he's won 18 majors. He's won more major championships than I believe anyone will ever win. So when he says he plays a little bit like I do, I'm like, when you read that, you're like, what the hell are you talking about, Nicholas? But he says he doesn't really ever finish many holes. I'm like, oh, okay, if you're Jack and you've won 18 majors, if you're out there just playing with your kids or grandkids or whatever, well, yeah, why would you bother finishing a hole? If you hit your second in a bunker and it's this bunker shot you really don't want to hit, and you don't want to get down there, and I wouldn't finish it either. You're Jack Nicklaus. You can do whatever you want. And then he says, but he can hit the ball, and he goes out and plays and just enjoys it. That's what I understand. He said, but he's won several club championships. Well, this is falling victim to the cult of personality, because once again, the number of confirmed club championships that Donald Trump has won is precisely zero. That's the one thing that I think he's been hoodwinked on. But the last statement, and Kristen, I don't know if you can back up the last few words that he says right after he's won several club championships. If you can just back it up like 10 seconds, we can hear what he has to say. Just that last thing that he said is perfect.
He plays a little bit like I do. He doesn't really ever finish many holes, but he can hit the ball, and he goes out and plays it and just enjoys it. And but he's won several club championships, and he can play.
Right, Gerald, that's it. And that sounds like the assessment of somebody who can play, talking about somebody who could actually also play if he really played. But he's like, he can play. If he wants to, but he doesn't finish holes, and he doesn't do this. He enjoys himself. To me, it's actually kind of maddening. I know a lot of people that fit this category. I know a few people who are excellent ball strikers, and which Trump reportedly is, and guys who can play, they just don't play. Or more accurately, they don't tell the truth about the way they play. They either A, don't go out there and play and keep score and post legitimate scores so that they have a handicap and you can tell how they actually play, or they lie about how they play, even though they can play. And it's like Nicholas just said, well, he can play. You know, if he quit screwing around and he would actually post a score that's not complete BS every once in a while, which every once in a while you will. You can look up Trump's scores that he posts, and, you know, he seems to play golf a lot, a hell of a lot more than I do, but he only posts, you know, scores once every year or two, and you'll see 68s in there and 70. But you'll also see, like, a 93 in there. It's very, very strange. But long story short, I feel better about Jack Nicklaus and his state of mind after listening to him talking about playing with Trump as opposed to reading it. When he says he plays like I, when you read, he plays like I do, and that he's won several club championships, he can play. But you hear Nicklaus say it, and he's like, oh, he can hit the ball. He just enjoys it. He can play. Okay, now I got you, Jack. Now I think we're closer to being on the same page. And again, let me, I prefaced it. I will end it again. This has nothing to do with politics. It has zero to do with the political climate or him as a president. This is just about golf. That's all it is. Doesn't offend me as a voter. It offends me as a golfer. People lie about golf. Cheat. You can't cheat. It's the one sport. You cannot cheat. It's not allowed. Can't do it. All right. Let's speak with Mike Higgins here in a few minutes, who is the executive director and CEO of the New England section, PGA of America, based on something I kind of started toying with last week, trying to use the Sports Hub Golf Club community. You know, me, you, everybody, everybody with their own ideas about what the best public golf course is in and around New England. I think Mike Higgins has some thoughts. We'll hear those next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
Joining us now in the Sports Hub Golf Club is the Executive Director, CEO of the New England section of PGA of America. It's Mike Higgins. Mike, how are you, my friend?
All right, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, I know that you heard a little bit about this last weekend when we were talking about some of the overlooked courses in New England. And, you know, we were talking about public courses, but I had also mentioned that I'd played Worcester a couple of weeks ago and what an amazing golf course that is and how that gets overlooked. And I wanted to talk to you about, as I ask people to share with me, and, you know, we're going to do a whole thing with the audience here about the best courses in and around New England, some that get overlooked. I think Worcester is a great example on the private side. And I'm sure you have some thoughts about this too, in terms of, you know, there are some obvious courses that we all think about in terms of the great ones. You know, we've got the Country Club, we've got Salem, and, you know, on the public side, you've got Pine Hills and Granite Links. But there are a lot of great courses that I don't think get enough attention.
No, for sure. No, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm very fortunate to play my golf at Worcester Country Club, and that's a conversation a lot of, you know, my fellow members and I have. You know, you have some great golf courses that go under the radar, and you know, they're known to, you know, maybe the members of the club or folks from the area, but, you know, if you extend, you know, outside of your local network, some folks may have never even heard of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people who've grown up inside 128 think, you know, Worcester's on the New York border, but it's really not that it's really not that far. And it is a great golf course, but, you know, the amazing thing is some of the history that some of the golf courses have. You know, we have a New England Series and Amateur Tour that we run here at the New England PGA, and we try to promote and highlight some of the past events that some of the golf courses on our schedule have had. And a lot of folks don't know that the Myopia Hunt Club has hosted four U.S. Opens, or Braeburn has hosted a U.S. Open, and Wanamoyson in Rhode Island has hosted a PGA championship. And some even forget that Pleasant Valley hosted so many years of a PGA Tour event, and Marlboro Country Club had a Champions Tour event, and Neshonoc hosted a Champions Tour event. So there's so much history that, you know, some of the younger golfers or newer golfers may not realize that we had some great events hosted in New England.
Yeah, you just mentioned one of my, you know, all-time favorites in Myopia, and Worcester. Worcester hosted a Ryder Cup.
The very first, right.
And,
yeah,
you know,
first.
Mike, you mentioned the history. We could do an entire separate show on just the history of New England golf courses. And I don't know that any are going to make, you know, their best of lists, but fine golf courses that a lot of us play more than any others, like William J. Devine, which we all call Franklin Park, or Ponkapog. But two examples right there. Amazing histories at those courses. But, like I said, that's probably another show for another time, but the history on the, we could do an hour on the history of those two golf courses alone.
Oh, no question. I mean, you know, golf in the United States started in the Northeast, you know, from New England and the metropolitan New York area. Just the history, of the founding golf courses of the USGA and the early days of the USGA and the PGA of America, and the great stories of, you know, guys hopping on trains to go play for, you know, a couple hundred dollars and not being allowed to even come in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Because golf pros weren't revered as they are. As they are today.
Golf pros were like the lowest of the low working class. Oh, you're a golf professional. You're not a gentleman. I know. It's completely different today. All right, Mike Higgins, he's the executive director of the New England section, the PGA of America. Mike, let's focus in on some public golf courses in Massachusetts. Go around the region if you want to, but some of the overlooked ones. Once again, you know, I think there are some obvious ones that we know and love, but there's some really, really good public golf courses that everyone has access to that I think people either A, don't know about, or B, don't think about when we're talking about the best.
No, for sure. And I'm fortunate to be around a lot of PGA professionals that have played many golf courses, and, you know, I value their opinions quite a bit. And we have a series that we call our New England PGA Stroke Play Series, which are individual stroke play events that are PGA professionals play throughout New England and throughout the season. And we try to include, you know, not only private clubs but some public golf courses. And the feedback that we received when George Wright, Boston Golf Course, hosted one of our stroke play events, there are probably not two better back-to-back golf holes than 9 and 10 at George Wright. It's just an awesome George Wright, Donald Ross layout. Great golf course.
It was my home course 4 years, and I always say if you can make the turn and play 9 and 10 in one or two over par, you're doing well. Because those two par fours playing from the tips will stretch you out to almost 900 yards between the two of them, and it's all you can handle.
Oh, with the sloping fairways and sloping greens, it's great. And we just this week, we had one of our events. We had over 80 golf professionals compete at Presidents. And it's amazing how many of our New England PGA professionals actually grew up in the Quincy and Braintree area. So it was a homecoming for a lot of our guys, but some had never played it before. And walking off the golf course, our PGA professionals were saying, man, this is a fun golf course. What an enjoyable place to play golf.
And I remember seeing in like a coffee table book years ago, and I forgive me, I don't know the author's name off the top of my head, but listing the favorite holes of various professionals throughout New England, and somebody named 15 at President's Golf Course is their favorite hole, the ultimate risk reward hole, that par five, and the course just in general, the greens can be diabolical. It's really a shot maker's golf course, and you got to know where to hit the ball. I think the more times you play it, the more you'll enjoy it.
No question. Oh yeah. There are some places that or some holes that you could take a swing and your score could go south, but if you hit in the right spot, you know, you can really really score.
There's a ton of courses down the Cape, too. By the way, this is Mike Higgins. He's the executive director and CEO of the PGA of America New England section. There's a bunch of courses down the Cape that I think people would either assume are private or either that or really expensive that are not. There are some municipal courses down the Cape that are among the best public courses I've played around here. You feel the same way? I mean, I'm thinking about a couple of courses in Dennis. There's a 36-hole facility in Brewster that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, the Captain's Golf Course in Brewster, two great courses. I think they hosted the Mass Golf 4-ball 2 years ago. There's Cranberry Valley right next door, which is a phenomenal public golf course, in my opinion. Then you have Dennis Pines and Dennis Highlands, which are two great golf courses. Old Barnstable is another public golf course on the Cape. If you have the time and you can drive to Deep Cape, there's a 9-hole golf course out in Truro called Highland Links, and it is awesome and well worth the drive. And try to put that on your radar, Hardy. If you ever want to make the trip out there, Highland Links is a pretty special place. Very very rustic and just an enjoyable round of golf.
All right, very good, Mike. Well, listen, we're going to be asking people to submit their thoughts on the best public course in New England. So I'm not going to ask you to play favorites, but I just want you to name a couple more that people may have forgotten about or aren't thinking of when they're thinking about their favorite or best public courses here in the region.
Yeah, man, wow. There are so many. I grew up in the Central Mass area, and I grew up playing Green Hill Municipal Golf Course, which just underwent some renovations, and they added a driving range. But you know, I grew up playing places like Green Hill and Holden Hills. There's a public golf course in West Boylston, Mass, called Wachusett, which is another old Donald Ross layout that's always in great shape and worth the trip out here out to the New York border here in Central Mass. And let's see, the North Shore has some fun golf courses as well. Far Corner.
I've played Far Corner.
Yep.
Oh, I played that also. Fantastic.
Gannon.
Yep.
Gannon. Gannon's another golf course that just breeded New England PGA professionals. I think there were 11 New England PGA pros that grew up in the Lynn area and grew up playing at Larry Gannon.
Here's what I think we should do, Mike. Here's what I think we should do. As we have a few weeks left here on the golf show, I think what we should do is next spring, you and I get together and do a more comprehensive approach to this. Maybe there's a way that you and I can get out, play some of these courses. You see what I'm doing here, Mike? I'm just inviting myself along to play golf with you. Get out and play some courses together, and let's really highlight some of these courses starting early on next year, and we'll take the whole season because we can't do it justice in a 10-minute phone call, but let's really focus in on it starting at the beginning of the 2020 season.
I'd love it.
Okay.
That'd be great.
All right.
It'd be, it's a plan.
All right, let's do that. Okay, listen, Mike, I appreciate the time. Mike Higgins, as I said, Executive Director, CEO, New England Section, PGA of America. A lot to think about here. A lot for people to choose from when we start asking in earnest for people to submit their favorite public golf course. But I appreciate your thoughts, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Oh, Hardy, thanks. Thanks very much. Great to talk to you as always.
Ever and ever, Nate.
Make your taste buds happy and pick up a delicious, refreshing Pepsi.
Join Pepsi for the Providence Bruins opening weekend, October 12th and 13th. Visit providencebruins.com/Pepsi for a special ticket offer. Score a ticket, popcorn, and Pepsi all for one low price. Pepsi, official soft drink of the Providence Bruins.
Hey, it's Maz. Kick off your football season the right way with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football. Head to DraftKings.com/SportsHub right now, and for a limited time, all new and existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. Plus, new users will get a free shot at $2 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/SportsHub to claim your special offer only at DraftKings.
Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com. Details.
Maz here. Hey, pop quiz. What do these have in common? Hikes, farmers markets, breweries, and the garden. You guessed it, they're all just a train ride away. This fall, take the commuter rail in and out of Boston for games, concerts, and events, or from the north to south shores and all the way to Providence. Enjoy popular New England fall festivities without the stress of traffic and expensive parking fees. Plus, don't forget about $10 weekends, and kids 11 and under always ride free. Plan your trip at mbta.com/massbytrain and get tickets on the MTA Ticket app.
Don't miss the World Championship in Heavy Athletics, taking place at the 2019 New Hampshire Highland Games and Festival, September 20th through the 22nd at Loon Mountain Resort in Lincoln, New Hampshire. World-winning athletes from seven countries will showcase their ferocious feats of strength in competitions including the caber toss, hammer throw, weight over bar, stone throw, and more. Discover Scotland, no passport required, at the 2019 New Hampshire Highland Games and Festival. Details and tickets at nhscott.org. Devil's River Whiskey, small batch bourbon, rye, and barrel strength whiskey made from the purest water in Texas. Winner of 34 awards, Devil's River Whiskey is enjoyed neat, on the rocks, and is terrific in cocktails. Ask for Devil's River Whiskey at your favorite bar or liquor store. Devil's River Whiskey, sinfully smooth.
Visit the 99 restaurants this Thursday through Sunday for their Lobster Lovers Weekend. Try their famous colossal lobster rolls this weekend and you'll get a free three-course meal upgrade. This weekend only, the 99, always the real deal.
Attention facility managers, Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a touchdown. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we've bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax. We buy all the cars.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Don't be left out.
You know the hot take.
Stupid All-Star
game. He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club, where once again we're at the Cape Club of Sharon. I'm here with General Manager Ken Elworthy. Ken, we've talked about the club before, but today I want to focus strictly on the golf course, if that's all right. And the first thing I guess we should talk about is the fact that this is the Cape Club of Sharon, so as not to confuse anyone. We're in Sharon, Massachusetts, and really on the site of the old Spring Valley Country Club.
Yep, that's correct. The Cape Club name came from our original club down in Falmouth, which is why Cape Club is going to be the brand for wherever location we're at.
Okay, so when the Cape Club took over and this was no longer Spring Valley, did you make any changes to the golf course? Because plenty of people played Spring Valley, I'm sure, over the years. Is it the same? Is it different? What has changed?
Well, it's not too much structural changes. We did modify the 18th tee box and fairway. We've put a lot of money into our greens with a lot of aerification, heavy sanding with some verticutting. We have put in some white stone cart paths and white stone sand bunkers, in order to give a more visual look. And that's probably going to be our future as well in the next couple of years.
Now, for people who have neither played either one when it was Spring Valley, or now as it's known, the Cape Club of Sharon, let's do a general layout of the course. I guess we would call this a parkland-style golf course. And how long has it been here? Who designed it? All that good stuff.
You're correct. It is a parkland golf course. It was designed by Jeffrey Cornish back in 1959 and completed around 1960-61. By parkland just means that there is no fescue anywhere on the golf course. You can basically see through all the holes, through the tree lines. Very difficult to lose a golf ball other than our very thick rough.
Wait a second, because I've played with you, and the way we keep score is how many golf balls you lose. So I kind of take offense to that. You're really offending both of us, because we've both lost, you know, a couple few balls over the course of even nine holes.
I think my famous words are, why'd you lose a ball? And it's because we're not that good. So the good to better average golfer doesn't lose a lot of golf balls here. It's very challenging, though.
I told the head pro that I lost three balls over the course of nine holes. He said, Hardy, there aren't three places to hide a ball out there on the nine holes you're playing. What are you doing?
That's right. There isn't a lot of places to lose golf balls on this golf course, but it's really well manicured. So it's basically grass mowed in every direction.
You're kind of unique in that you start off with a par five. I guess it's reachable for players, but the way it plays is really interesting, because I think most people can hit driver from the tee box, and I've, you know, given it all I have and ended up in front of that creek down there. But from that spot, you're still left with about 225 into that number one green.
Yeah, the course itself is very deceiving, because of you can see everywhere you're going, but it plays a lot longer than it looks. And the first hole, par five, is a great hole. You can bang it pretty good with your driver, but there's a lot of hidden streams that run across these fairways, which creep up on a lot of people.
I also like the fact that there are a good mix of right-to-left holes and left-to-right holes. So, you know, if you play a draw, or if you're great at playing a cut, you're going to be afforded ample opportunity to play your natural shot shape throughout the course of 18 holes here.
Yeah, there's no question you get to shape a lot of different shots. You get to use every club in the bag here. It's a really challenging golf course. A lot of fun.
The par threes, I think, have as much to do with the personality of a golf course as anything else. You have a great par three here, number 16. Tell me a little bit about that and how that hole plays.
Well, to me, it's a devastating hole, because it kills me every time I play it, but it's about 210-yard par three. We got water running up the whole right side. The green's pretty undulated. It's a difficult hole, and it plays long. It's hard to get there.
And the 18th hole has, you know, undergone some changes now, you know, visually. I don't know what it's set up like before, but you've got some of these beautiful new townhomes going in down the left side. And the hole itself is just, I think it's what a finishing hole should be. You know, an uphill par four, if your match is all square standing on 18 tee, this is a great hole to decide a match on.
Yeah, it's definitely a hole you can attack the green if you get a good drive off the tee. Originally, it was a pretty much straightforward par four. It was straight up the runway. Now we've turned it into a little bit of a dogleg right. We've added about 25 yards to the fairway and all new tee boxes. So it's pretty challenging. Again, it has another creek that runs right through the driving area.
Well, you and I have played a few holes together, so I know what that experience is like. If you wouldn't be offended, I'd like to get out there, play the 18th hole with the head pro here, Stephen Daly, because he's given us a lot of tips here over the last couple few months. I want to see if he can actually put them to use.
Well, I think you have a much better shot of him scoring well on that hole than you or I, so I think we'll go with Stephen. That's a great choice.
All right, let's go do that right now. All right, so as promised, Stephen Daly has joined me here on the 18th tee box, and we are going to play one hole here, Stephen, and we're going to put all this stuff to use that you've been instructing us on over the last several months.
Sounds good. Tee it high, let it fly.
Oh, okay. Well, he never said that before. There was nothing in the long drive segment about teeing it high and letting it fly. Is that your final swing thought before you tee off here?
It is.
Okay, so what is the length? We are all the way back here on the black tees. I have never played from this far back, so what's the length on this hole today?
393.
This looks farther than 393. Is it because it's a little uphill, correct?
It is. It is, with bunkers on the right-hand side, one lone bunker on the left-hand side.
I mean, it's pretty much a straightaway par four, but there is a tree, I would say, about 80 yards out. That probably is going to catch... I'm not saying that you're going to snap hook the ball. I have a tendency to have a severe draw. That could be a problem.
I'm going right over the top of that.
You're going over the top? So you're going to play a cut over the top of that tree that is just off to the left of this chute coming off the tee box, is about 80 yards out.
With a little fade, yep.
Oh, he's really talking a good game. Let's see what he can do. Oh, he took it over the tree. He cut it back just like he said it was. Ooh, did it cut back enough? Did you leave yourself maybe in the left rough over there?
I think so. Not in the bunker, though. Is it your shot?
You want me to try and cut it over the tree?
Yeah, definitely.
Steven, I took it over the tree, but that didn't cut.
It was well hit, though. Well hit.
I'm going to have significantly more than 115 into the hole because I'm about 30 yards left of the fairway over in that left rough. I don't know if I'm going to play the rest of this hole.
We'll hope for a good luck.
Okay. Wow. He's an optimist, if nothing else. All right, let's go find those tee shots. Okay, so we've arrived at Steven's tee shot. We've gone ahead and picked mine up because, time is of the essence here. Daylight's fading, Steven, and I don't want to mess with mine anymore. But really, you've got yourself in great position here. You did find the fairway. I don't even think you're 115 out. How close are you?
102 to the pin. Back pin, 102.
I'm trying to do the math in my head. This was 390. It sounds like a 290-yard drive.
Yeah, we'll call it 300.
Okay. Okay, now... what are you going to do with this shot here? You've got yourself...
about 100 yards, back pin. The only thing I'm really thinking here is don't go long because then you shortside yourself. So I want the longest club that I'm going to hit is going to be a club that goes no more than 100. So that'll eliminate us going long unless, we hit that thin shot.
All right. Well, let's not even think about the thin shot. We've got a slightly elevated green here on the 18th at the Cape Club of Sharon. So let's see what you can do. I'm going to just step back a little bit and let you hit this shot. I love the distance. I just don't know. Ooh, you left yourself out there to the right. Is that called playing to the fat part of the green?
That's being nervous, yeah. Then there it goes, spinning back down the green, about 40 feet away.
That's what happens when you put action on the ball. See, me, I don't have that problem. If I were actually playing my second shot on this hole, there would be no action on the ball. I would land it short, and it would roll in the general direction of the hole. But I don't even have a chance to do that.
Yeah, some say right church, wrong pew on that one.
Hey, now we can put one of those putting tips to use.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, we're up here on the green. The good news is on in regulation on the 18th hole. The bad news is he has, in fact, left himself, I wouldn't call it 40 feet, but it's all of 35.
35 feet up the hill. I accomplished my goal by not going long, but came up a little bit short. So we got an uphill right to left, about 30 feet or so.
Do you remember any of the putting tips that you gave us a few weeks back? Because there's one in particular that I'm thinking about right now that would be helpful in this situation.
Which one are you thinking of?
Center the club face.
Yeah, on this one, center of the contact is important because then that's how you gauge your proper distance. As soon as you hit it off center, it's, not going to go the distance that you want.
I will step back, allow you to hit this putt. Excuse me, roll this putt. Oh my God, that's not even an inch on the high side. You missed it on the high side too, like a real pro.
Yeah, well, the point was to give it a chance, but eliminate the three putt option and have an easy tap in par.
Well, I would say that's a gimme, but I don't give putts. So knock that one in if you would, please. There we go. That is a solid four from Stephen Daly, the head pro here at the Cape Club of Sharon on the 18th hole here. Gorgeous hole. You've got the new white gravel cart paths and looks like new bunkers here too. White sand in these things.
Ken, our general manager, calls them the Augusta white sand bunkers. They're beautiful, nice to play out of, look great.
He may have mentioned that 9 or 10 times, but he'll be happy that we gave it another mention here. Look, course is in beautiful shape. You got a beautiful game, Stephen. I got to say, you put your money where your mouth is, so thank you. Thank you for the demonstration, we'll call this. This wasn't a lesson. This was more of just a this is how it's done that we all witnessed here.
Thank you. We'll get out there soon.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Devil's River Whiskey, small batch bourbon, rye, and barrel-strength whiskey made from the purest water in Texas. Winner of 34 awards, Devil's River Whiskey is enjoyed neat, on the rocks, and is terrific in cocktails. Ask for Devil's River Whiskey at your favorite bar or liquor store. Devil's River Whiskey, sinfully smooth.
If weight's holding you back, don't fix the problem, solve it. With Awaken 180 Weight Loss, you'll receive tools, support, and accountability required to effectively lose weight. Then, as promised, Awaken 180 provides you with free support for life. Awaken180weightloss.com.
This week, Ocean State Job Lot is selling sweaters, dresses, jackets, pants, and tops from America's favorite department store for about 50 to 80% savings. Men's and ladies' dorm pants are just $7. Official NFL and MLB hats are only $10 each. And day-to-day 101-count single-serve coffee brew cups are on sale this week for $19.99. 12-pound cozy comfort weighted blankets are on sale for $39.99. And 500-sheet copy paper is on sale this week for $3.99. Now is the time to start thinking about closing your pool. And no one in the Northeast has a better selection of commercial-grade winter pool covers, water tubes, pool pillows, and winterizing kits than Job Lot. Our prices are extraordinary. And if you enjoy spring flowers, you have to plant now. We have all your favorite Dutch bulbs for $3.99 a bag. And this week, 50 pounds of black oil and flower seed is on sale.
Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Couple of items to get to here before we wrap up the Sports Hub Golf Club for the day. Number one, Dustin Johnson had surgery 2 mornings ago. Apparently this was a surgery to repair cartilage in his left knee. It was an I always have problems with this word, especially at this time on a Saturday morning. Arthroscopic. I did it. Arthroscopic surgery Thursday morning. Cartilage damage in his left knee, which kind of explains Dustin Johnson's season a little bit. He never used it as an excuse, as far as I heard. But if you'll remember, DJ was number one in the world back toward the beginning of the year, like going into the Masters. He was the number one player in the world. And he finished, again, nobody remembers this, in a tie for second at the Masters. We all remember Tiger Woods and that's it. But it was DJ and Xander Schauffele who tied for second, one stroke behind Tiger at the Masters. And then Dustin Johnson finished second at the PGA Championship, I believe. Let's see. I know he won early this year, but he had a good start to the year, right? He was runner-up at the PGA as Brooks Koepka won it again. That's right. So he had back-to-back runner-up finishes in the first two majors of the year, the Masters and the PGA Championship. And then he pretty much just fell off. I mean, you're thinking, like, what happened to Dustin Johnson? And I'm not saying that he's using the knee cartilage as an excuse, but it kind of makes sense. I think he finished dead last at the Tour Championship a couple of weeks ago, which is, hey, it's better than not making the field of 30, but not what a lot of us expected from Dustin Johnson. So the fact that he almost immediately then underwent arthroscopic surgery on his left knee, that kind of makes sense. The other thing I wanted to mention was the Long Drive Championship. I don't know if you watched any of this earlier in the week. It was wildly entertaining. And I'm not like a Long Drive fan or anything, but I'll watch it when it's on. And watching Kyle Berkshire and his long drive of over 400 yards, 406 is what won it. And it's not just a collection of drives over the course of a day. No, they get eight shots in, I believe, a three-minute time period. And it's, you got to keep it on the grid, and you got to put it out there. So it's a timed event. You only have a certain number of shots, and you have to keep it on the grid. He had hit one 415 earlier in the night. But really, the most impressive, I think, were the women. And this woman named Chloe Garner from South Africa, she won the women's title because she beat a three-time champion, this woman named Phyllis Metty of New Zealand. Chloe hit one 347 on her fifth attempt, and she had to beat 344. So she only had a couple of balls left and not a lot of time left on the clock and cranked one out there 347 yards to win the women's world drive title. So that was fun to watch, and also a horrible idea if, let's say, you go out and hit balls yourself the next day, which I did. Yeah, don't do that. Don't watch the Long Drive Champions and then go out and hit balls. It's a horrible, awful idea. Marshall Hook and I believe Mike Flynn are in today. So if Marshall is ready to go, then we are all in for a treat, as those two will take you on through this Saturday morning. Matt McCarthy will get us updated here with the Hub headlines, and then Hook in for Ryan Johnston on the Johnston and Flynn Show. Hook and Flynn here for you this morning. Thank you for listening. We'll do it again next week, starting 7 a.m. Saturday morning, right here, Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.